Welcome to Local Roots Podcast.
Thanksgiving edition.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, you said post-Thanksgiving.
Post-Thanksgiving.
I was going to pretend we're recording on Thanksgiving.
You can do that if you
like. No, yeah, for the rest
of the
episode.
You're going to start by lying. Wow, Larry.
Yeah.
Oh, if these listeners knew the lies that I've told over the years. There's been like three episodes where I said I was drinking a beer and I was really drinking like a seltzer water.
Yeah.
I'm full of lies.
I didn't even know that. You lied to me.
I did. I'm a phony, and I'm okay to admit that today. And if you guys choose to no longer listen to the podcast, you can torture my DMs with hate mail. And what a cheerful way to start.
Yeah, wonderful. Wow. Thank you guys for listening.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So we have a wonderful guest on today.
And you're lying already. There you go again.
Now Brian and I are both lying.
Lie number two.
And this is going to get confusing because we've had a different Brian on twice. We have Brian as the co-host, and then we have another Brian joining us into the Local Roots family today. So the third or fourth Brian in the Local Roots universe.
There's a lot.
But needless to say, we're excited to have you. Thanks for coming on, Brian.
Low key, Brian's run the mountain bike world. I don't know if you guys knew that, but we do.
It's that's what
it's
I'm
very
discovering.
High key. It's a high key thing. We know it. So, Brian, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Quick little rundown. Yeah.
All right, the rundown. Yeah, Brian Doctor here. So, I think the main reason I'm here is because I'm the vice president of the West Michigan Mountain Bike Alliance. Dude, that's been a newer role for me. I came on as communications and marketing director about a year ago and quickly kind of got moved up the chain to vice president. I entered that scene because I own a design and marketing agency called TBX here in Grand Rapids. And so, yeah, we make websites and all the pretty cool brand stuff. And I kind of initially came on because it was like, yeah, we got to improve communication at the Mountain Bike Alliance. We need a new website. We need better emails and social media presence. And I got to kind of clean all that up because we have a thriving community here in the West Michigan area. Lots of people stoked on mountain biking, especially in the last year with the pandemic and everything. Way more people are hitting the trails and getting into the sport and getting outside. And it was like, yeah, we got to like help these people in addition to obviously the hardcore folks. And I'm a dad of three. I've got an awesome wife. I've got a business. And if I have any spare time or money, it's spent on bikes.
I was just going to say, the fact that we're squeezing a podcast in between that schedule is
insane.
Yeah,
no kidding.
I'm curious, before we get too far, do you have any like exciting project you've worked on, you know, maybe before you were vice president? Like, what was the website what all did you contribute there?
Yeah, that's kind of how I came on board. So I was getting to know Nate Phelps, who's one of the directors, and then Lydia, who's our president.
Hello, Nate.
Yeah, Nate's awesome. He's one of those, like, you can't not like him. He's just mellow, but mellow, but passionate. Like, he's kind of this weird mix of a dude who's like, you'd think he'd be this kind of lazy, just, I don't know, type dude. And then you come to find out that he just has this relentless drive to like pursue the things he's passionate about and like build stuff and do things. He knows everybody and like really he pulls most of the levers like behind the scenes when it comes to like building trails, working with land managers. Like the dude just does it all. I couldn't be more impressed with him.
Well, heck yeah. First time I met him, he gave me a beer, so I like him.
The weight of Brian's heart.
That's all you got to do for me.
Okay. So, Nate kind of pulled me in, and it was like, man, we need to improve our communication. And I had been going to his shop, and he's been wrenching on my bikes for a while. And I don't know. He just did what he does, which is like makes what he wants to get done, makes it seem like it was my decision to do it. and made me feel empowered, like I was the one driving it.
Characteristics of a good leader.
Yeah, right. So we started like by using me and my company to build the website for the Alliance, and then through that process it was like, all right, I need to get on board here and like be part of the board. And so yeah, we did the website, and me and my team built that, and that was kind of my inroad to the Alliance. And then yeah, he asked if I wanted to be on the board and kind of take over running all that stuff. And so ever since then, that's what I've been doing. So
a true hero's journey. What an adventure.
Yeah.
No, that's super interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Brian.
So
Brian, I'm creeping on your Instagram.
Oh boy.
You've got some badass bicycles.
That was what I was going to ask. You said you're friends with Nate. Are you pushing a Kona?
Also, are you riding for Rockford Bike Shop, Speed Merchants?
No, I used to ride for them. That was like my inroad. I lived on the northeast side of GR, and I could bike right to Merrill and Luton from my house. And that's kind of what got me into mountain biking. And then I got to know the Rockford guys and George. So like that was the team I was on. Yeah. Yeah. George is awesome. He's a good wrench, one of the best, and then super proud of him and his wife, Kate, for starting their own shop and taking over Speed Merchants and building Rockford Bike Shop and stuff. That was cool.
Oh yeah.
I was riding with them. And then I moved to Hudsonville, where it's like just flat cornfields. There's no trees. There's no trails. It's like from a biking decision, it's been the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
I'm close to what's the one over there? There's something over there, right?
Upper Mac, are you talking about? Or are you talking about Evergreen Ministries?
No, neither of those.
See, I think Upper Max over there, right? I haven't been there yet. Or Riley's kind of close. I don't know.
What's the one that you like in? Kazoo? Oh my gosh! Now I feel just silly that I don't. I've only went there once.
Bass River.
No, Yankee.
Yankee, thank you. Yeah, you're not too far from there, are you?
I mean, it's if you think really 40 minutes is not too far.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah,
I swear. Yeah. I guess I had to go through Hudsonville.
How did you drive, Larry?
I'm thinking maybe I'm thinking of
Larry, were you drinking on this drive?
Maybe that was on my way home. Yeah, I don't
know. Like 2 hours to get to Yankee.
Yeah. Larry's new to the area, everybody.
Yeah, I am. That's my excuse.
He's new to driving. He just got his license.
I'm new to typing where I want to go into my phone to tell me how to get there. I can't even do that right.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, I need to go off real quick. I got the mini phone. I was so excited about it. And I need to just vet real quick. And first of all, the size is perfect. It's exactly what I wanted. But it sucks so hard. The battery lasts 10 minutes, and every time I type, it sends the wrong thing. So I'm returning it for a different phone. I'm only saying that because I think I brought up how excited I was for it on a different episode. So I want to make sure people know that it sucks.
I was convinced that I wanted that for my next phone. My biggest like issue with my phone is I hate it in my pocket when I'm riding. So I always want to wear like a jersey, and it's hard to find jerseys that aren't kind of lame that have pockets in the back. I don't know. It's hard to find long sleeve jerseys that have pockets in the back that aren't like aerodynamically designed, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
So anyways, we digress.
So you wanted a smaller phone to fit in the pocket.
Wanted a smaller phone to fit in my thigh pocket. Yeah.
Ah, so you didn't need to wear those jerseys. That makes more sense.
Yes. Gotcha.
I mean, honestly, the form factor is just perfect. But yeah, the screen and battery just like are useless. So I'm throwing it away.
Throwing it in the trash, in the garbage. Will it blend?
Yeah. Okay, let's get back on track here. What I'm most excited to get into, if I derail it, I could bring it back, right? That's my task.
You're allowed.
All right, so Brian, the main reason we're here is I saw that we are in the middle of a fundraiser for one of the best trails in probably all of Michigan right now, and the Dragon. And there's some goals that we need to help hit, and you know, maybe we can talk a listener or two to contributing. Hit us with the details, my man.
For sure.
Yeah. So for sure, the Dragon is going to be just ridiculous. It's, you know, we're working towards 50 miles. That'll be basically 47 miles of a full loop. And then there's this little loop in Brower Park, about 3 miles. So it's about 50, but yeah, crazy. We're like, about 12 miles in, and it's pretty critical, like fundraising time, because it's a $3 million+ effort. I think total fundraising, we're about over $1 million, and the deal with the fundraiser is it's so critical right now because some of the grants they have from the state, I call them like kicker grants, because okay. you have to have raised a certain amount of money yourself, or you have to have completed a certain percentage of the project in order to access those grants. So it's like almost a double whammy. If you don't get the money, or complete enough trail, because not only do you like you spent that money, but then you don't get access to the grant you already have to build more trail.
Oh, wow.
So like it gets pretty complex when you're talking like these, environmental state grants type stuff, because they operate that way. So, we're working hard to like the Dragon has their own fundraising team. It's their own 501c3. The Mountain Bike Alliance, we're our own separate thing, but we've been a huge part. Martin Hall, who's kind of, I don't know, the dude is just this low-key, quiet legend of the local mountain bike scene, has been central in getting this project going for like 10 years ago. This was his vision, and he's been working tirelessly to make it happen. So he's really the guy that kind of brought the West Michigan Mountain Bike Alliance in real early. And, so 2 weeks ago we launched our fundraiser. I don't know how deep you want to go, but
before we get deep on, I'm curious. So it said the way you kind of stage this is you have to raise additional money or get to the trail. So which one are we working towards right now? Or is it both?
It's both. Okay. You know,
and how close are we on both?
I don't know the exact like dollar amount to access the next levels of grants. I think we're close. And Martin and the team, they have some private funding that they're working with, and really like the whole year of this goal was to build as much stoke as possible, to put it in mountain biker terms. Because we needed the community aware of what type of trail system this was really going to be. And like there was, okay, we could contribute money for a couple bridges. You could do signage and kiosks and things like that. But we as the Alliance threw down, like we just emptied the coffer essentially, because we had the opportunity to contribute to about 3 more miles of trail, which took us over that 10 mark, and got us to where we are now. And I think there was a trail counter. We got trail counters out there. And there was a day, I think it might have been last Saturday, the weather was perfect and stuff like that. I forget exactly which day. And in like the, I don't know, 6 hour daylight window on an 11 mile out and back stretch, there was like 380 some riders.
Oh, I love it.
That's crazy. Now, are these trail counters, are they like city workers that are out there? Because I saw some guys in, I want to say like consumers or DTE gear that were setting up. It looked like like motion sensor things. Was that what that is?
Okay. Yep. Yep.
I was out there last Friday.
Nice. What'd you think?
Oh, it's unreal. I rode with Larry probably the I rode with you the first time, Larry, probably about a month ago.
Yep.
And it was
it exceeds the hype, right?
It blew my mind. Yeah. And then I went out there this past time and I was unaware that there was more trail added. And so it's right when you get to the end and then you ride that the kind of the road towards the lake and then take that left back into the trail. And I was like, whoa, okay, this is cool. We got a little bit more trail, and I wasn't expecting as much that was built. And it is unreal out there. It's just the scenery just gets more beautiful and beautiful. The terrain gets more fun and fun. And there's jumps, there's a bunch of rock features that are super fun.
I gotta say, when I went there, you know, I was excited because of, like, the terrain. You know, I thought that was gonna be the hype. Like, it's like this gorgeous like location, and you know, we're just building a nice trail in a nice location. But it's so much more than that. It's like actual great trail conditions plus an amazing location. It is like the best of both worlds. I can't get over how great
it is. Beautifully built, flowy, fun trail. Like if you stuck that in, I don't know, some like, you know, ugly scenery, if you can imagine that, it'd be stellar. But then you backdrop that on one of the most beautiful, it's the most beautiful mountain bike trails that I've ever been on by far.
Every other mile you look to your right and you're just like on the top of like a beautiful lookout. It's perfect.
Yeah, but the ravines are just on this like just mass scale. Everything is just big and huge. It reminded me a little bit of Glacial. If Glacial was more fun and more beautiful.
Which is crazy to say.
Yeah, because Glacial in my mind, that's my most like scenic trail when I think of that. And the Dragon just ups that by like a considerable amount. Each part of the trail has its own feel where you're kind of, there's part of it where you're going down where the lake or the dam gets a little fingery. And it's unreal.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that.
It matches Glacial and terrain as far as like you can do like these climb after climbs where like, I mean, you're getting a little tired, but it's nowhere near as exhausting as most other climbs just because it's built so well. Go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I'm going to give you like the Apple fanboy teaser here. Like, but wait, there's more. Because basically what they had to do while building was we had to start in all of the state parks. Because of the timing of the year and wanting to like not have heavy machinery when people were there, the priority was to get every section that went through a state park done first. So that meant there's a couple sections where people aren't riding that there's already trail. But no one knows about it or how to get to it.
Okay.
But wait, there's more part is that as you continue to go north and east is where the real topography is. Like they haven't even accessed the most intense ridges, the biggest valleys, and the spots where they have to put the biggest bridges.
Dang, that's so cool. So, I'm so excited hearing that.
The stuff that is like on the northeast side as you head towards Brower Park, I mean, we're talking like 60-foot suspension bridges have to be put in yet.
Oh my god.
It's kind of terrifying. So, I love it. And it's skinny, right? You're just going to do a skinny across?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
You fall off. You're just like, you got to go home now.
Yeah. People want our local trails to get more gnarly. Well, get ready. Right.
That was great.
So, it's going to be ridiculous. Have you guys ever been to Brown County down in Indiana?
I haven't. Our friend Brian Zajac keeps talking to us about it, and Larry and I have not gone.
Yeah, so the same crew that has done all of the modern building in the last 5 years down in Brown County is the crew that's building the Dragon. And I'm telling you, these guys know, I mean, they know what they're doing, and they understand Midwest soil, Midwest topography, Midwest, like the needs of the trail users, they're good. And like when you think of we're going to have what right now is just a little under 12 miles for 47 miles around a body of water with the topography we have, it's going to be 47 miles of flow trail. It's insane. Oh, so now, crazy. You know, what the limitations of what West Michigan, and even with the topography that's out there, it's like, yeah, we're not going to have these huge jump lines. We're not going to be building wood features where it's 10 foot drops. You know, the county and the park systems, and like this still has to be a little bit of like a multi-user mindset and multi-skill set mindset. Because the people who are contributing money and the foundations, like their Muskegon Community Foundation and the Nuevo Community Foundation, like they have to take into context, like there's going to be people that walk and hike and jazz like that. So it is mountain bike specific, but yeah, we don't have the ability to work like those things, but the amount of flow trail, like glacial is a great comparison to me. But even then, glacial wasn't built with flow in like the modern version of flow in mind.
Sure.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
Yeah, but glacial, up until I rode the newer sections at DTE, glacial was my favorite trail in the Lower Peninsula.
Okay.
And the Dragon's gonna just blow that out of the water, in my opinion. So
it is so exciting.
Yeah, we're getting really lucky here in Michigan. We got a lot of options.
Yeah, it's nuts. Brian, you're talking about trail builders real quick. Here's my plug. Have you had the opportunity to meet Josh McCready yet?
Oh, sounds super familiar.
He's Trail Sense. He's been doing all the work at the Pairn Flow.
Oh, yeah.
He did some loot and stuff.
Yep, we had him out at the bike park.
Yeah.
Yep. He's like our utility trail builder right now, and he's crushing it. And it's like this ability for our organization to bring professional tools and equipment without having to like pay out the nose for some huge trail company to do it. Josh has just been dialing us in. So,
well, that is great. That's to awesome. Hear. I'll let him know. Josh is my soon to be cousin-in-law.
No kidding.
Yeah, I actually hooked him up with Nate Phelps over this beer that Nate gave me. We were kind of shooting the shit, and I was like, "Yeah, I know a trail guy," and he's like, "Ah, okay." We started talking about it, so he's like, "Well, hey, who's this trail guy?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, it's my fiance's cousin. He just quit teaching for 13 years, and now he just wants to build mountain bike trail for a living." And,
yeah,
you know, he's been killing it ever since here. So.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't put his name with Trail Sense, but yeah, we had him at the bike park out at Luton, and he did the upgrades at Wafield, and we're stoked on him. I don't know, he's like the guy we don't want to tell people about.
they'll steal him.
Yeah, because we're digging so much what he's doing with us, and but you know, there's a couple other trails in the works here, like Memba, the Michigan's Edge, who does more stuff on the lakeshore. Like there's a trail they're working hard to get funded here in Jamestown, which is like Hudsonville. I know, Larry, you have no idea where that is, but
yeah, Larry doesn't know Hudsonville.
Right,
it's I'm actually on my way there right now.
So there's some trails where like they need a professional builder, but you know, you can't pay through the roof for some whole like crew to come out.
Right.
And we're eyeing Josh for that stuff too. Like, I don't know. Dang. Could be sweet.
That's awesome. And yeah, I'm sure he's excited about it. We talked to him quite a bit, but he came over to our house for bonfire the other night, and he was just going on and on about how much he's just loving, building the trails over here, and he's loving all the people that he's working with. He's
good.
Super excited, which is awesome. Cool. But what I wanted to say was that he is obsessed with the Dragon too. He's like, dude, this is the best thing that's ever been built. And like, I like to think cool shit, but like, this is on like a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Before we diverge excuse me, from this topic. Have you guys got out to the Wafield editions yet? I still want to before it freezes over.
I have not.
I have not either. I wanted to go last week and it was wet and cold.
It was
and
just a
gross,
gross weekend. Yeah.
I'm hopeful to get out there. I don't know if it'll be dry by tomorrow. I would like to check it out. If not, I think Sunday would be good, but I do like the, yellow Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday direction better, but you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to check it out. Bob, I heard good things about it. I heard people loved it. So.
You know what? I didn't know Wafield was multi-directional. Every time I've only been there twice and it's been the same way.
It's,
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Well, it's tricky because then you go to the flow trail and obviously there's up.
That's,
there's
yeah,
the up.
Obviously.
But then if you keep going, then there's Oxbow, which goes back to directional, but then you have to ride the bi-directional path back to where you're supposed to go. it can get complicated.
I got a little turned around, but
yeah.
I don't know. I want to go give it another good try because I feel like I still didn't give it a full go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know there's talk of doing some serious work out there too, because there's quite a bit of land with a lot of different elevation changes going on out there, which can be very exciting.
Cool. Yeah, that I was about to mention that Wafield has a serious target on it from us. We've done some work with the GR Parks and Kent County Parks because Wafield has a master plan that includes building a bunch more mountain bike trail.
Sweet.
And so we did a community day out there back in the spring before everything was shut down.
Yep.
And like locals got to come in and give their input on the master plan. And it's just like anything else, man. There's, if you know where the flow trails are, there's a barn back there and this house back there that is vacant.
Yeah.
And that's a family that owns that property and that stuff that has been there for like multi-generations. And they basically donated that land to the city to the county. And they asked for like use this land for recreation for people, and I was at that community day, and that two old ladies representing that family came and talked to us, and it was just so cool because it's just they could make a ton of money off that, right? They could sell that land for the family and put it in the trust.
Yeah.
And they donated it for it to be exactly what it is. And so you hear those stories.
It is sweet.
And it's like they were there at the master plan thing because they want more of the land built out and used. And they even talk about contributing money to it, let alone the donation of the property.
they're gonna pay for someone else to use their land. That's good people.
Yeah, dude. We need more stories like that. I love it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, having good karma, why I'm thinking about it, we're talking about the dragon. I apparently engaged in a faux pas that I was not supposed to do. It is on our Local Roots Instagram page. I'm not taking it down because I'm really proud of the photo.
Did you ride on a private bridge or private dock?
I did.
Oh.
I went down the dock, and I was reading that this morning, and I was like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have did that.
I'm looking at it now.
Listeners, do not go down and walk on that dock because it's private. I was unaware it was private. There's probably a million signs that I just actively didn't look at. I'd say
there isn't, though, right? I mean, here we go on a tangent. So as I read that this morning, I see nothing wrong with what you did outside of the second you recognize it's something you're not supposed to do, you don't do it again. I think
that's a good way to look at it.
When it comes to the dragon, like we are guests on that, in that entire property, like that, everything surrounding that has been like generations of family, hunting grounds, cabins. Like these people are essentially allowing us to build this trail, and it's changing the landscape of the property that they've owned for generations. And there is inevitably going to be a little give and take of like, hey, you mountain bikers, like, please act this way, not that way. And we're going to have to learn. And so, like,
essentially
cool.
It takes Brian fucking up to teach everyone else not to do it.
And, the lady that wrote that on the Facebook page, like, oh man, what a great way for her to engage that conversation, be super kind about it.
It was perfect.
And here's what I struggle with is it took one dude with
one guy.
stupid attitude to make that lady feel like, oh, this is going to be adversarial, isn't it? It's like, no, lady, what you did, what you said, what you're asking of us is perfect, right? We love that. But the one dude who jumps on the Facebook page is like, I don't know, I'd like to ride on your dock if I feel like it. Like, dude, come on. You're screwing this up for everybody.
It was bad. He, like, went out of his way to be a turd. And he was like, I've never actually been on the dock, but I would just like to think that if I want to, I can. And everyone's like, oh, your driveway looks nice. I'm going to go drive my car up and down your driveway. Like, what the hell? I don't know. It was weird. But I apologize for doing this. I should not have gone down there. I was, in full explore, but now I know, I got a great photo, so it was worth it. You got to respect people's shit. And I think people, at least me, when I was out there, I'm like, I'm not thinking that this was people's land. I'm just like, oh, this is a cool new mountain bike trail. I can explore all of it. And that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that's here. I'll keep venting. It's super hard about, like, representing the West Michigan Mountain Bike Alliance on Facebook, like the worst place in the world to engage in constructive dialogue
with anybody.
right. And you mentioned that, like, anything we post, any trail updates, whatever, there's always a naysayer who's like, West Michigan trails suck. There's no features. You guys are just building trails for boomers. that's the more popular recent one. Yes.
But we are, aren't we? Like, isn't that technically what the aim would be?
I guess. Unfortunately, am I a boomer yet? I guess I'm considered a boomer at this point.
I feel like that's the terrain I love, is boomer terrain. It's like got my name all over it.
Right. Just flow, like, trail.
Nice and flowy, easy on the knees that I've fucked up over the last 20 years. And I love it.
But it's, man, we have like one dude who always chimes in, and I'm happy to, I love, the issue is he lives in California. And he
It's that guy.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, just come into town. Let's grab a beer. I'll hear you out. I want to hear you out. You represent like some version or some portion of riders. Let's figure out how to make it work for you. But why? Like, why do you live in California and chime in on West Michigan Mountain Bike Alliance Facebook page? Like, let's.
And he gets everybody fired up.
Oh yeah. And then we all look like idiots, right? We all just look like jerks who hate each other and don't respect, like, the trail builders. It's like, come on, man.
I
think
annoying.
You summed it up with how you opened the sentence. It's like you're trying to make progress on the least productive website in, like, the entire world.
Yeah, but so, yeah, the dragon is pretty awesome.
Yeah, right, yeah, to bring it back home. How can people donate?
Yeah, we, West Michigan, the WMMBA.org. And if you hit that and you've never been on the site before, there'll be a little announcement bar that pops up and says, like, hey, donate to the Dragon. It's our thing right now. Otherwise, there's the Dragon fundraising page. If you scroll down a little bit, you can go right there. And then WMMBA.org/dragon-fundraiser. And it's there. And yeah, we are pretty floored. We have a goal of, by the end of the year, we want to raise $18,750. And in week one, and it was almost like the first two or three days, we had raised almost $9,000. Like, watching the stuff come in was just unreal. Like, we knew the Dragon is a hot thing right now and people were going to want to get on board, but $9,000, and that's no corporate anything. That's literally like anywhere from $5 to $250, just people, just individuals.
People.
Oh, yeah. Just throwing their money in. So we haven't pushed it a second time. We haven't gone out and got press and publicity or, you know, any write-ups in the papers. And to get halfway to the goal just with Alliance members essentially was pretty sweet. So we're stoked on that. And yeah, we want to keep it rolling, and hopefully by the end of the year we have another big check we can write to Martin and the Dragon team and get them everything they need to keep it going, because it's just, I don't know how many superlatives I can say about it, how many times I can repeat, we don't understand yet how big of a deal this is to the West Michigan mountain bike scene. Like, this is going to use the stupid cliche of put us on the map, but people will stop always being like, oh, Brown County, Brown County. Like, Brown County people will now be coming to West Michigan.
There we go.
That's going to be
you know, awesome. Everything going on in Traverse City is ridiculous. They're doing awesome. There's nothing that's ever going to be like the Vasa and all the other cool trails. But we think we finally have something that Traverse City people will come down to, and people that are all DTE riders, you know, everybody from the east side of the state is all DTE and Potawatomi, and there's nothing ever going to be like that. DTE is unreal. But now we have something that will draw them to us, you know, and that's not to say our current local trails aren't sweet, but 47 miles with the views, with the nature, topography, with the quality of the trail, it's going to be a thing. And we're so stoked about it. So we just want to keep doing everything we can to keep building trail and get people on board and feeling like it's our trail. It's West Michigan. It's kind of this area's effort to do something really unique. And it will be the only 50 miles of trail in the country around a body of water.
Sweet.
And so it's unique. It's awesome. And for generations to come, we hope this thing does what we plan on having it do.
I love to hear it. Come on, people.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what else do you need to hear?
Yeah, it's perfect. Robinette's has a pond, so that kind of
You want to get old school, go ride Robinette's. Yep.
Brian, have you ridden there recently?
Not recently, no. I just now have a full suspension bike, so...
Okay.
Now I guess I'm ready for Robinette's and all the roots and stuff again.
I live really close, so I ride there decent amount. It's fucking hard. there's no getting every time I come home, my fiance is just like, what the hell happened to you? I'm like, I ate shit again, multiple times. There's pricker bushes, there's roots, but somehow it's beautiful and I just keep going back.
I used to, as a glutton for punishment, I would go to, Proven Trails, which is right by Robinette's. Yeah. I would just do, it's 1 mile, but I would just do repeats on that 1 mile. And there's, depending on which direction, there's one climb always that's just miserable.
It's terrible.
And so... I never ventured into Robinette's too often, but I would go on Proven Trails and just beat myself up a little.
Yeah, Robinette's is like that, but tighter with more hairpins and more
roots
somehow. with apples in your way.
With dodging apples falling down.
Yeah. Brian, you said you got a full squish. What'd you get?
Okay. Yeah, I'm rocking a Santa Cruz Blur. And
awesome.
You don't hear that often. That's a cool
no.
What kind of suspension travel are we talking? You hundo in the front and back?
Don't get mad at me. I'm not a tech guy, so I literally don't even know. It looks cool. I added a bunch of personalized accents to make it look cool, and it rides awesome.
That's all you need to know.
Right? I don't know.
It looks great.
I think it's 110 in the front or 20 in the back. I don't know. It's a low travel, XC oriented.
I'm actually seeing 120 in the front. This thing's pretty versatile. This is a little more aggressive. Oh, I would call it a more fun, probably.
Are we going to use the term down country here?
I don't know what that means.
I have a 34
down country. Fun cross country. Yeah, 34 step cast. Yeah, I'm assuming it's probably 120 in the front.
Yeah, really, I think it's a little beefier. So I'm an advantageous bike buyer. So there's a dude, Jaron Bouchong, who lives on the east side of the state, and I think he's a electrician full time, but he's like basically he could retire and be a mechanic and a bike builder. And so this dude buys and sells bikes like every month, and he's an extra large. He's tall like me, which is rare. So I have just waited, like my current fat bike and my current blur, I purchased from him. One of my buddies purchased a single speed from him. So we just wait till this guy gets bored of a bike and then he sells them for cheap.
<buy him.
laughs> And then we buy them from him. Yep. Oh, so, yeah. So this, the Santa Cruz, I've wanted a full travel, full suspension for a while, and this thing does it for me. I'm pretty stoked on it. So
that is nice. Sweet.
So while we're on the subject, what else is in the fleet?
I have a Borealis fat bike, which I bought from Jaron, and all carbon everything, and even I had carbon rims and.
Ooh, fancy.
You know, I haven't known you guys too long, but you'll find out in the next few months. Fat biking is my favorite discipline of all of them. And I'm crazy about it. And so
maybe you can guide me real quick. The whole reason I haven't downgraded, I have a 29 plus with 3-inch wheels that I said or was told I could try to squeeze in some fat biking. Am I going to just have a miserable time with 3-inchers?
Yeah, and if you go to Groom Trail, you're technically not supposed to be on it with anything smaller than 3.8.
Oh, it's 3.8. I think, at Vasa it was 3, and that's maybe why I have that in my head. Well, in that case, I'm just going to get smaller wheels because that was the whole reason I was keeping the 3 inches.
Oh, I get smaller wheels and then get a bike with bigger wheels.
Exactly. No, that's a way better thing to do. Because I've been wanting a Bear Grease for so long. I tell you.
They're sweet.
I never owned one, but just looking at them is what made me fall in love with fat bikes. Like, those Bear Greases are so sweet.
They're just badass. Like, recently, all the paint jobs have been just killer.
Oh, so cool. But the Bear Grease is one, like, if you wanted a utility bike that you could have as a fat bike and then throw down in the summer, add a front shock to it and get smaller tires. Like, I think Rob Meandering, the awesome photographer here in GR, he uses a Bear Grease and just flip flops it all year. Now he's got multiple bikes, obviously, but he uses it in a pretty versatile way. So that's a pretty sweet bike.
Yeah, I've had an eye forever, basically. I was close. All right, well, I'm glad I asked. Now I won't look like an asshole in public.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I think there's plenty of times where, like, with the freeze thaw, and no one's really going to care. But if it, like, grooms and it's soft yet, and you go with something like less than a 3.8, you'll just end up rutting it. And then if it freezes, you're stuck there with a rut in the groom trail.
I'm not about to be that guy. I just
can't
live with myself.
You want to be a Facebook
post? Who is this asshole?
Torch and Larry.
The subject of a mean old man's Facebook post. That's my
If you do that, and then between Brian just being a jerk and riding on private property at the Dragon, you guys could effectively go out of business real quick with this podcast.
Can't wait. Yeah.
I think it'd
I've
be
been
great.
Looking for excuses to just torch it. So.
We're canceled, right?
Sounds like an easy way.
Yeah,
and between our lies about saying it or. Our lies, my lies. Pretending it was Thanksgiving when it's really, I almost called it Black Friday, but I feel like that's just not a thing anymore. So the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. The first day of the Christmas holiday. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm probably going to put Christmas lights up today. So
are you?
Probably.
Do you get on the roof of that bad boy?
No. I will put up a tree in the house, and then I will put up this very, very interesting lit up palm tree that Alexa's mother bought us. It's great. Okay. We love it. And that will go outside, and that's it. And I will plug in the lights that I left on the bush all year round.
So there we go.
That's Are just they just smart. White so you can use them all? Yeah, that's called efficiency.
Yeah, we did turn them on during, you know, like peak quarantine to kind of put some, you know, cheer in people's lives, I think.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So that's
did you also step outside your back deck and clap at 7 p.m. for essential workers?
No, but I wish I did.
That was a thing?
Didn't hear that? No. The silence makes it seem like you guys did not hear about that. No. I guess there's a thing in like probably California or something where every day at 7 p.m. everyone would go out on their balconies and clap for essential workers. And then they like kept doing it, but like it would like slowly dwindle because not as many people were doing it until there was just like 10 people like a week later doing it.
Well, that's depressing.
It would have been funnier if you guys seen that. Maybe a listener will know what I'm talking
about. Okay.
Good story, Larry. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. That was great.
This is the riveting content people come here for.
So, Brian, you're loving your blur, huh?
Yeah. It's I don't know if I need to go on a rant about full suspension bikes, but you know, West Michigan is like XC hardtail land.
Yeah.
And you know, like, and I love a good hardtail, don't get me wrong. But I couldn't believe a little bit of extra weight, but the efficiency of it all, like, I don't know. I'm super impressed. And it's not just like on descents and over techie stuff. It's like climbing too. You can stay in the saddle. You can keep power down the whole time going over roots and rocks. And then, yeah, downhill, you can just send it. And then the ability to like pop out of corners and hold momentum and stuff. Like I couldn't believe I'm faster on a heavier bike. The efficiency of it is like, it's a double whammy because you don't get as tired. You're not getting beat up as much. So you can just keep riding. It's like,
well, I'm sold.
It's pretty impressive.
I've been starting to ride a little now. When I say park, I'm not going nuts, but I've been hitting more technical stuff, getting in a little bit of like jumpy land and drops at, you know, the skills area in Cannonsburg and the bike park. And I have a Scott scale, which is, I don't know if you can get a racier hardtail than that.
Yeah.
And, it's been holding up, but I feel like I am well beyond the limits of that bike for where I'm trying to push it. And I'm looking at a full squish eventually at some point.
Are you still in Hey Hey zone?
I'm looking at the Hey Hey. I really like the Epic Evo. I just wish, I don't want to piss anybody off, but I wish there were better specialized dealers in the West Michigan.
Shots fired.
I had bad experience with them before. But yeah, I think Hey, still maybe, you know, Top Fuel, I've heard it's a little more stiffer. But also I was looking at the Blur or the Tall Boy from Santa Cruz. So
yeah, I think you know, the Hey, I don't know the exact geometry of it, but you know, Kona, a bit more of like a free ride downhill brand. They tend to have a little more of a relaxed geometry. And I think Santa Cruz is a little bit like that. I'm not, again, I don't know the exact specs, where if like the Specialized is a little more XC, and so they have a little tighter, like twitchier feel to them. And, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Nate Phelps actually let me hop on his Hey just for like a little bit riding around the area of his shop, and it felt sweet. Nate, if you're listening, I also apologize for tracking dog shit into your shop when you let me ride your bike. I'm just full of just fucking a lot of shit up.
Brian's
so sorry.
Just he wants to, just, he wants to get a clear conscience today.
I'm trying to post Thanksgiving, you know,
is there any other sins you would like to confess today?
There's, I ate a lot of food yesterday, drank a lot of beer yesterday.
He's feeling repentant.
Very repentant.
Yeah. Brian, all Hey Hey's come with a RockShox like reverse fork?
What?
Or is this just like a...
None of them do.
I'm looking at one that has one.
Well, what year?
Like the one that like comes Mark on Scott, like track bikes.
You're talking the Mark, the
yeah, that Mark has
the RS1. They only made that fork for a year.
Oh, well, I see a Hey Hey with one. That's crazy.
It's probably an old Hey Hey. So they revamped the Hey Hey this year for 2021.
Oh, or 2020. Okay, yeah. This is a 2017 I'm seeing now.
Oops. Yeah, the new one's got the shock that's like horizontal. I don't know. But yeah, Josh McCree just bought one too, and he loves it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Every Kona bike I see lately, like there's some like groovy looking colors and stuff. I don't know. They're
no, I love them. Online, I think they look tight. Dumb, but like in person, they look sweet.
Like yeah, Central that new District's Instagram. Every time I see someone buying a Kona, I'm like, damn, maybe I want one of those.
Those are
sweet. Yeah, I think it's the Hey Hey, but. It's kind of like this bright bluish green, and then the Kona is like kind of a bright yellow. Yeah, I don't know. That one looks sick. But then I just had a buddy buy a Kona Woe, the fat bike from Nate at Central. And yeah. It's got that like sparkly three-way paint job where depending on like the light and lure. The angle, it's like green and gold and a little purple, yeah, and it's like, oh, dude, it looks sweet. And that's a fat bike. So like,
I think I'm looking at that right now on their Instagram. That's tight as hell.
Yeah.
Kind of like darker green. Ooh,
yep. Handsome. But it almost looks like in the right light, it lightens up and it almost has like a gold hue to it. I don't know. It's pretty sick.
And then there's the Kona Process with like a like pink and orange gradient on it.
Oh, the black, the CRDL.
Yeah.
No, that thing's
Ken Sinclair just bought that. Ken,
there you go.
I think he used to be a mechanic at Central District, and now he just I don't know what he does, just but he's got cool lots bikes. Of cool bikes.
Buying expensive ass love it. Send it machines, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, guys, I know it's 11 in the morning or 12 now. Probably not drinking Black Friday beers, but did you guys enjoy a craft beer over your Thanksgiving?
Yeah,
a favorite cocktail.
I had some light beer, ate a lot of food, and then had some Peroni. So just, you know, a light bubbly beer to kind of fill in the cracks.
I don't know if I've ever heard of what that is.
No, I think it's like an Italian like super light, like just lager or something. Okay. I don't know. Whatever my brother-in-law had at his house.
Sometimes that's the best beer.
But yeah, I went the other direction with it, and I had a. This is like sin for a mountain biker to say, but I had a trainer road workout I had to do last night on the trainer.
Gosh.
And so I didn't drink much during the day because I had a workout to do when I got home from Thanksgiving. So
that's some tenacious self willpower. Yeah. Congrats. A trainer ride post Thanksgiving? Who is this guy?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying, I guess, to be one of those dudes.
No, good for you.
But, one of those dudes. I'm looking at my trainer and my trainer tire, and it's next to me. And I have the space mapped out for the bike to go there, and it's not here. It's not down here yet.
So. Just finding every excuse not to set it
I'm
up.
Like,
me too.
It's not really snowing out yet, so I don't need to set the train up yet.
It's been such a warm fall and early winter where it's like, yeah, to retreat to the pain cave, it feels a little obnoxious.
The trainers, yeah, 30 minutes on that sucker, and you're like, it sucks.
So beers, back to beers and drinks.
Back to beers and drinks.
Back to the opposite of a trainer.
Yeah. Larry, I was enjoying some Small Days, and I was enjoying
classic
some Moon Ramblers, which is my new favorite beer of all time, I think.
You're back on Founder's good side, rather they're on your good
I don't want to tell them that I'm supporting them, but Moon Rambler is...
You don't want to tell them.
Okay. It's on point, and I am very much enjoying it.
All right.
And I also drank a lot of Mick Ultras.
Hell yeah.
Whoa.
Because we ran out of beer and they were in the back of my truck. I was saving for Brian Zajac. And sorry, dude, but we drank them all. So
if only you could find those somewhere.
Well, they were organic. They're kind of hard to find. And,
the organic. Are they all organic or
no,
is that just like
it was
a special
just
run?
These ones. They're kind of expensive, okay. And it didn't taste good.
Okay.
Yeah. Larry, what were you sipping on?
I feel like we're trading spots usually. I feel like what you're have, like, I usually go like basic, like all days or stuff, but I was an Arvon boy yesterday. I had a double haze, whatever.
Jurassic?
Yeah, nice. I had one of those.
It's one of my favorites.
Is not a weak beer. I only had two beers, but I felt drunk. I had that, which is, I felt like 10%, but then I had a fruit puff, and oh my goodness.
Was it your first fruit puff?
That was my first fruit puff. Ooh, but luckily, I have about eight more in my fridge. I think I spent like $60 at Arvon.
See, you went all out on Arvon.
Yeah. I might squeeze them in some stockings for people too. So I got a little extra.
That's a good move. Yeah, Arvon's been, they're awesome.
It's probably my favorite brewery right now. Mostly just because I'm so obsessed with sours, and they always have a good one.
You'll say, yeah, I love sours in New England, and that's kind of all they make. So it's great.
Good fit.
Speaking of sours, have you guys, Holmes Brewery in Ann Arbor, have you ever been there or heard of them?
I have not.
I've heard so much about it, though.
My little brother used to live in Ann Arbor, and we visited him once, and yes, that place had some top-notch sours.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's their thing. They've been winning award after award for their beers, and a friend of my brother-in-law, if that's like the chain that makes sense, owns the place. And I kind of got wind of them pretty early, and their sours are like pretty top notch, and they're kind of just staying in that niche. They're not even trying to like expand into other stuff, and check them out, dude. Their packaging, their design, their pub, like, it's probably my favorite like looking branded beer and pub in Michigan. It's pretty rad.
Yeah, I actually went there. That was back when you can go to breweries and drink there.
Yeah, right.
If you guys recall.
What a time to be alive.
I know. But yeah, it was awesome. And I'm glad you brought it up, because I kind of forgot it existed until, I kind of triggered my memory there. So I'm going to have to see if they do. Are they in stores? Like, I would love to find one of those.
I don't know if they do any distribution. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
I don't think so. But...
Well, Larry, you're doing a road trip.
Or maybe we could talk to some people and try to get them on the podcast even. I love talking to breweries too. Those were some fun episodes, and we only did two, and then we got right back into mountain biking.
Yeah.
We have no focus.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I don't think he does. He doesn't ride. His wife is a triathlete, but that's, you're not going to want to talk about that stuff. But
Tommy would
talk about beer with you for sure.
Hell yeah.
Well, hell yeah, there we go.
There it was.
Brian, do you have any big bike plans for 2021?
I do.
It sounds like you're training. What's the goals?
Yeah, this is why I'm training. Normally, I ride outside constantly and fat bike. It doesn't matter what the temperature or weather. But every spring for the past 4 years, I've been doing a trip out to California.
45 degrees.
And my brother-in-law lives out there in a city called Ojai, which is like kind of an hour in from Ventura. And so we go out there for the past 4 years, and it's a road and gravel trip. We're out there for 5 days, and we do 4 days of riding.
Dang.
And last year I was not prepared for it.
Okay.
And I got 2 out of the 4 days I was able to ride, because you guys aren't roadies at all, are you? Right.
For a roadie ride, I'll do like White Pine or ride like downtown GR. I'll get like 40 miles and I'm done. I'm not
okay.
Anything crazy.
Like if you follow like the tour, or like the world tour of like roadie stuff, right? So the Tour of California a couple years ago did this climb called Gibraltar.
Okay.
And it's a beyond category climb that's like 15 minutes from Ventura, California, right on the ocean. And we did Gibraltar in the middle of a 108 mile day. on road bikes. And that was our day one. And I'm 210 pounds. I can put out some watts, but to go uphill is not my forte.
Your legs are bleeding.
And dude, Gibraltar is, it's a 12,000 feet of climbing.
In how many miles?
Like 12 miles.
Oh, 1,000 feet of climbing. We bitch when it's 100 feet a mile.
Yeah, that's my peak.
I was in the smallest gear I had for an hour straight, and every pedal stroke, if I didn't pedal the next one, I would have stopped and tipped over. It was like doing squats, like one-legged squats for an hour straight, just to get up the freaking climb. And my body shut down. Like, I made it to the top, and then we had 45 miles to get home. And I was just cramping left and right, and tried to do the recovery ride the second day, and I could hardly, like, even ride, pushing any power, like, my legs. So what are my plans for 2021 are survive the California trip.
Are you saying, is it the same route every year?
No, we've switched it up. So I don't think
I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Okay. Yeah. We're not doing Gibraltar, but we're doing this other Chief's Peak that is a gravel climb that has, I think 5,000 feet of elevation and 3 miles.
So a little more steep, but
and it's on gravel. Yeah.
Ended loose gravel. Perfect.
Right. So yeah, that's why I love riding mountain bikes and always being outside, but I have to, like, I've got to hone it in this winter and get a little more in shape just to be able to enjoy the California trip. So
yeah. It's cool to have, like, that's kind of how in normal years treat, like, it doesn't sound nearly as challenging as what you said, but even just like Iceman, it's like Brian and I always talk about just like, that's our reason to, like, not slack all year, just because, you know, you have that race at the end of the year. So if you can't finish it or beat your time from last year, you're going to feel a little silly. So that's what keeps you motivated throughout the year. It's good to have something like that set.
Yeah. And I'm not, like, I'll be racing next year, you know, Paris-Roubaix, Yankee Springs, and Iceman, and just kind of all that normal stuff. But racing isn't, like, that big of a deal to me. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to, like, be that dude out there who's fast. But like you said, it's just kind of against yourself. And so,
as long as you beat your time every year, at least that's what I told myself.
Right? Anyway. If you move up a wave, you're all set, you know? So,
talking Iceman?
Yeah.
Yeah, just racing in general, for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
What are the races? Sorry if I missed it. What other races do you do in Michigan, Brian?
I start every year with Paris-Roubaix and the Yankee Springs time trial.
Awesome.
For sure those two. From there, it's always just kind of a toss up. Like, I don't love the heat. And so I don't do a lot of racing, like, in the middle of summer and stuff. So I don't do, like, the mountain bike series.
We do either.
So I'll do a couple spring races. And then in the fall, you know, obviously you're doing Iceman. And then, like, Peak to Peak.
That's my favorite. Sometimes doing.
Oh yeah, that race is awesome. And a little bit of, like, I'll do the Glacial Hills Challenge because Glacial's cool. Although, like, if you ever want to hate Glacial Hills, try to do it as a race.
It's gotta be hard.
Yeah,
it's my butt on a regular day.
Or we've got a buddy that does the Hanson Hills 50. 50 miles in Hanson Hills sounds like it'd be a little rough.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Have you ever done? Sorry, we're just probably talking race trap, but Mud Sweat Beers. That's a good early one. Have you done?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah, I love that one. I've done that race twice. I don't always do it. And I'm in a little bit of a stage of life. Like, I got 3 kids under 10 years old and they're playing sports. And so now I have to, like, walk this line of, okay, can I be gone every Saturday for a race and miss my son and daughter's soccer games? And So I think the racing thing is just dialing back a little bit for me for a little while. But
a couple core races.
Yeah, that's probably... but I would recommend I'd recommend Mud, Sweat, and Beers to anybody. That was actually my first race ever. Was nice. Mud,
that
Sweat,
was
and Beers. Yeah.
Clydesdale
Pale Ale. Yep.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. It really is fun because you get like all the experience of a race, but you can, it's at the beginning of the year, so you can like tell yourself it's okay if you don't do all well because you don't have a lot of miles in yet.
That is definitely,
I love that.
That is
and
where
there's always opt out to like the half race, which I always do the pale ale.
That's where I first discovered what on your left means. So that was
fun.
I was like, oh shit.
Dude, that was that race. So my real backstory, like I was a college soccer player. When I was done with college, I started doing triathlons. Again, don't tell anybody. And then I was like, oh, only the biking part of this is fun. And then I was like, I had a buddy introduce me to mountain biking, and I was like, oh, forget the road. Like, this is where it's at. But anyway, I had a friend talk me into Mud, Sweat, and Beers, and that was my baptism into like the actual mountain bike scene. Because like you finish a triathlon or a road race and everybody's gone and everyone hates each other and like
you're just going home.
And like I finished Mud, Sweat, and Beers, I'm like, wait a sec, like who's that dude? He just won the expert race and he's like hanging out having beers with all of us. Yep. And I was like, oh, that's Jordan Wakely. I was like, how does a person like him exist? How are you 6'5" and like you? Oh, he's a legit lumberjack. And he's like hanging out. He's just like hanging out with all of us drinking beers. I was like, oh, this mountain bike scene is pretty sweet. And that was Mud, Sweat, and Beers. It's like, wait a sec. Mountain bikers, like they don't all hate each other and they want to just hang out after a race and drink beers with each other. Like, this is pretty cool.
That's a perfect way. That's like the culture that I think drew all of us in for sure.
Yeah. Now, you know, not every race, like Jordan and Cole House will get in fist fights after races, but, you know. But
wasn't there a drum up at Peak to Peak?
There is a big drum up. Yeah, it got.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it. I don't want to like piss either of them off. And
we just kind of rake that in the corner. Don't tell them.
Yeah, that's like Fight Club in the Michigan mountain bike scene. You just don't talk about that. Like,
it was bad, like
mm-hmm.
not good.
Yeah, one of my good buddies that's on my like we're not a team but we're a team. Brandon Munson is kind of from up in that area, and he was like right there. And I guess Cole House and Wakely's dad actually were the ones that got in a fight.
Like, no, that's what happened. And I thought that
we were there too. Actually,
Cole House,
I only saw like the
Cole House's dad went to jail. I thought.
Yeah. I don't know how it went.
It's been too much a rumor mill, but or no.
Yeah,
welcome back to Michigan Mountain to bike gossip.
No.
Where we go over the hottest gossip in all of mountain biking
from 2 years ago.
I'm totally spinning rumors,
yes.
And that was wrong. It was wrong information. So, anyways.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's fun.
Anyway, back to mountain bikes. Mountain bikers are cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah,
we all hang out like each other.
Cool. And we drink beer.
Perfectly put.
And it's awesome. Yeah.
So, I don't know. What about you guys? Like, you got trips lined up for 2021? You get, like, races? Or is it just, like, adventure time? Because everything's going to be canceled still anyway? Or, like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, Larry gets to... figure out how it is to raise a human.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just parking it.
It's exciting.
I've lost all motivation, and it's hard to focus on bikes right now. That's for sure.
I don't blame you. Holy shit.
But, you know, I'm sure I'll be, after a long winter with a newborn, I can only imagine I'm going to be bagging for some spring riding, to say the least.
Yeah. I was signed up for Barry, and I was really pumped for it, and didn't happen. So I'd like, hopefully that happens this year. I don't know if it's early in the year. That, and then Luton time trial I like to do. I was signed up for that this year. That didn't happen. That sounds like a fun, like local, it's like in the backyard, so you may as well do it type thing.
I always love the Yankee time trial, so I'll probably do that. I never do well, but I would like to do it again. Just because that's fun. It's sponsored by Shorts, which is cool.
Yeah.
Peak to Peak, obviously, and Iceman. And then I would like to do, the Bear Claw Epic in Cadillac?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to do that because that's semi-early in the fall, if I remember.
September, yep.
Yeah, where it's not like super cold, and I feel like my family has a cabin in Everett, just close by, which I feel like would be fun just to, you know, do a big party there afterwards.
Yeah, I'm gonna park it on Bear Claw a second and give a little plug here. I raced that race, I think the second year they started it. For 2 years I did it, and Michelle Andrews is like the woman that puts the race on. I think she's the race director, and I don't know if she works for like the Cadillac something or other, but she is awesome and she deserves all of the support she can get. And they they low-key sponsor and pay for like these really cool initiatives in Cadillac. I forget what they call it, but they basically started like a high school girls fat bike team. And a lot of the proceeds from the Bear Claw Epic will like pay for these girls. So they got these girls who are like, you know, need stuff to do and need to learn how to be physically active and healthy and stuff. And Michelle in this group got all these girls fat bikes, a local gym like lets them train at their gym for free, and they do all these workouts and then they do skills clinics. And I can't believe I don't remember the name, but it's just stuff like that. Like this Michelle is so rad. And then on the same trail system on the fat bike scene, I'll just preach this over and over. Get up to the Cadillac Winter Sports Trail in the winter, and they get more snow than almost anywhere in the Lower Peninsula. And they had like their grooming team is amazing. And the same trail that you do the Bear Claw Epic on, they groom it in the winter, and it is unreal good. Like it's probably my favorite Lower Peninsula fat bike trail. If you get a chance, go ride it in the winter, ride it in the summer, go do the Bear Claw race, because what Michelle and her team are doing there in Cadillac is so needed, and they're doing an awesome job. So
that's
there's my plug.
Great to hear.
Do you need a fat bike for that race?
Yeah.
No, not at all. It's a screaming.
Larry's trying to buy that bear grease.
Well, that would be an excuse, yeah.
Wait, let me change my answer. Yes, you do. And you absolutely have to have a fat bike for that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll start looking on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. Yep. And that race is super fun, too. It's got really fast, kind of flatter, flowy sections. And then they throw in just two or three, like, not crazy climbs, but kind of separators, you know?
Okay.
And it's loops, and you go right through the main crowd at every loop, and I don't know, it's really fun. So
Brian, have you rode that system at all? Just because it's so close to your cabin, have you ever tried?
I've never been up there.
Okay, maybe we should do that next summer then.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. Whenever I'm at the cabin, I'll go ride in the morning. I don't ride gravel ever here. But up there, the gravel roads are really pretty around the area. So I'll go ride that. And then the beer's calling in the boat and I don't, you know, that's kind of it. I'm in the mode just to relax, but I would super love to go up there, especially now that Cadillac's got a brewery. So.
Okay. Yeah. We could maybe even rack in a, snowboard fat bike trip.
It's fat bike and snowboard in the same day. Well, at Cannonsburg, you can do both.
Yeah, I guess we could do that without even leaving here.
I think it was a couple years ago I biked Cannonsburg and then we snowboarded it in the afternoon because it was in springtime. Yeah, that's when I tried to snowboard across the river and I didn't make it.
Oh, yeah. That
was I made it like halfway, exactly halfway, and then just sank.
Hell yeah. The point was that you tried, though.
Yes.
And I'm very proud of you.
Another thing, made for a great photo, so it was worth it.
It's all about the Instagram. That's all we care about here.
Brian, do you snowboard or ski?
I do. I'm a snowboarder.
So I
went to school, like college, my freshman year in Colorado. And that was when I became a snowboard snob, where I'm one of those guys who I have a real hard time riding in Michigan now.
So for a while
I took trips out there every winter and rode. But my 10-year-old son is now getting into snowboarding. And he did pretty good his first time out. And so that's going to have me back snowboarding here in Michigan for a while.
Nice.
And so, yeah, pretty stoked on that. And yeah.
Heck yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. I don't know, but around here anyway, fat bike just took over for me. So I love winter sports. I snowshoe and cross country ski, snowboard, fat bike. I'm an extreme winter advocate. I think people gotta get over the first 5 minutes of being a little chilly and then go out and you live in Michigan, like you gotta embrace it and find stuff to do.
You gotta stay sane in winter, man. Let me tell
you. Boots, coat on, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad gear.
Spoken like a true dad right there. I don't know how many times I've heard that and be like, "Dad, I'm cold," and he's like, "You're not cold. You're unprepared." I'm like, "You're totally right."
Yeah. So, yeah, man.
That's fantastic.
All right.
Well, guys, I might wrap it up here because I do want to try to get this edited and out today so that we have this out.
Thanksgiving.
Yes, on Thanksgiving, exactly. But, you know, if there's any, last thoughts here, you know, go for it. Brian, this has been such a good chat. I mean, I loved hearing about all the progress, and, you know, you've been a great fit for the podcast, and thank you for taking some time to come on.
I have a question.
I
have a question for Brian. When is the next WMNBA meeting? Because I would like some more free beer.
I'm not going to tell you now, but no.
You have ulterior motives.
We meet once every 5 weeks, essentially like once a month. So we've got one coming up here in December, and, that's kind of the board member meeting. And I think one of our things for 2021, we have to start having like public engagement meetings. Okay. And so we'll figure out it. We wanted to do that this year, but obviously we can't do it this year with groups and meetings and getting in breweries or something like that.
I was very much joking. So.
No, I'm not joking though. It's important. Like we need meetings where we can sit down with our alliance members and people that, you know, support us and contribute to us and hear what everybody wants and where we need to do a better job. And, typically that's done best over beer. So we got to figure that out.
The last one I went to, I loved it. It was at Third Nature. I was hanging out with Craig from Rockford, and, everyone's getting free beer, but he doesn't drink. So the poor guy had to go buy his own pop. It was kind of funny.
Is that Geese? Craig Geese?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. The legend himself.
The Geese. Have you ever ridden with him?
Oh, yeah. I was on Speed Merchants team, and, I'm new to the sport. I'm like, how is this, 50-year-old hippie just shredding everybody? And he does.
Unreal.
Constantly.
I rode with him. I'm on my mountain bike, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go over just for, a light training day. I'll be on my really heavy single-speed cross bike. I'm like, so you want to come ride with me? And I was like, yeah. Okay, cool. So nice. And no, just blew my damn doors off.
Yeah. And that guy, he's such a good guy though, man. I mean, he is just a pure soul. If there's one of those, you never have to second guess that guy, that he's doing the right thing for the right reason. And you'll catch him on a longboard or a cyclocross bike or a downhill bike. He's just awesome.
As long as it's got wheels.
Or on roller skates at the Burger Shack.
That's right.
He's working there sometimes. It's just a hobby.
he's
an unreal guy. Craig, if you're listening, rock on.
And that's it, from both of us.
We owe you a soda. We'll buy you a soda sometime.
We owe you a soda pop. No, I don't. I mean, I don't know, Larry. Do you have any questions for Brian before we go?
No, I'm thrilled with how this turned out. I had a fun time. And you know, it's a different experience, like chatting this early in the morning and being on the podcast early in the morning. It's like 11. It's like noon now.
It is.
But still, I don't know. We usually do these at night, and I kind of like it. It's like a switch up of like atmosphere. It's a good change.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, I'm definitely not drinking all day right now, so it's cool.
Well, you I'm still on coffee over here.
I'm trying to. I had too many beverages with Larry's brother last evening, and I like to go for a bike ride, and I can bike ride fine hungover, but if the headache comes in at all, then I cannot ride. So I'm hoping to fend that off. Sorry if I sound like an alcoholic to anyone listening. You guys are both
it sounds under control. You got
this guy's
you got
a problem.
That explains why you went on the dock and took the photo. You were just drunk.
Yes, exactly. Because I was just hammered. I rode 20 miles.
You've already hit the first step. At least you admit it. So
yeah, right? There we go.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, I'd say thanks for having me on, you guys. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm here to plug the West Michigan Mountain Bike Alliance. And mostly right now, we want the community support to get after it with the Dragon. And so we appreciate what everyone's done so far with that. It's been a phenomenal first 2 weeks with the fundraiser, and we want to finish strong. And then we got a great community of mountain bikers and alliance members, and it's a privilege to represent them. And every day we're just trying to do a better job of doing that. Listen to our members and what they want to build, and do a good job of building more trail and better trail and maintaining what we've already got. So it's kind of thanks for having me on to represent the West Michigan Mountain Bike Alliance.
All right. I love it. Well put. I can't think of a better way to wrap up the episode. Yeah. We're just ruining it by talking now.
You are great with words, Brian. And I'm very
jealous. Yeah, you're right. Enough coffee. I'll say anything.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, man. Yeah. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Maybe see you at the Dragon tomorrow, fellas. Later.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Larry? Good to have you in the area. Whenever you figure out how to get around, let me know, and we'll meet at Yankee or something.
All right.
They have, you know that, like, the most advanced map in the history of humanity is literally in your pocket right now. And, you just have to do what it tells you to do, and you won't drive 20 minutes out of your way on the Yankee. I mean, it's just like...
I dream of one day harnessing it, and on that day, I'll call you guys, and I'll meet you guys at the trail.
All right, we'll look forward to that day.
All right, guys. I'll shoot you an email. Thanks, fellas.
I appreciate it. Thanks again.
Later.
See ya.
All right.